important. I've seen some posts online, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of the way I'm going today. So I feel good about this message. I think you'll enjoy it. Today I want to talk about how to possess the promised land for your life. All right? When I say the promised land for your life, I'm talking about taking hold of the blessings and promises of God for your personal life. All right? I'm really talking about taking hold of the perfect will of God. How many of you want to be in the perfect will of God? Amen? I know I do. So the title of this message is this: How to Cross Your Jordan. How to cross your Jordan. Go to Joshua chapter 3. This is based out of Joshua chapter 3. And I want to bring up some points that the Holy Spirit showed me in this account. Joshua 3, 1 through 5. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan River. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place," and underline it, "go after it." Oh, I like that. "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have," underline it, "you have not passed this way before." What's interesting, what jumped out to me in those five verses is one word. It was this word, passed. Say passed. That word passed, the Hebrew word that's translated passed, means this: to cross over, to go over, to go beyond, to go over, to get over, to go through, to pass through, to pass along, to come over, to pass beyond. Are you getting it? Hey, I'm telling you, the Hebrew language is very rich. Okay. But what is the significance of that definition? The significance is this: to possess the promised land in your life personally, you are going to have to go through some things. You're going to have to cross over some things. You are going to have to go beyond where you have ever gone in your walk before. You got to go up and beyond. It's great where you've been in the past. It's great where you are now. But God's trying to get you to go higher in Him. He's trying to get you to cross over your Jordan. He's got so much more for your life. Amen? Amen. You're going to have to spiritually press into God, press through like never before in your life, to possess the blessings and the promises of God in your life. That's why, if you notice, on Wednesday nights, on Sundays, we're taking more time just to linger in His presence. We're taking more time to really just pray in the Spirit together and to press in and waiting on prophetic words to come forth. Why? Because we need to go up and beyond where we've gone before. Amen? Amen? Amen. He desires to take us higher. He desires to reveal His glory to us in such a way that will make all these earthly problems seem so futile in our life. Amen. There is, some of you are saying, well, how can that be? Man, I've been through some rough stuff. Let me just say, the presence of God is supernatural, and it has a way of taking you up and beyond and giving you a peace that passes all understanding. Now, Joshua told the children of Israel in verse 5, he said this: "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Okay? To sanctify yourself means this. Say sanctify. It means this: for you to divorce yourself or separate yourself from anything and everything that would hinder you from moving forward with the Lord. I like that word. Say divorce. Divorce. We hear that word in such a negative context all the time. But divorce is a positive thing if there's something bad or evil in your life that you need to divorce yourself from. Amen. If you're getting beat up in your marriage, divorce is a very positive thing. Right. Yeah. Come on, amen? If you're getting cheated on in a marriage, divorce is a very positive thing. Come on. You might not hear that from many pulpits, but it's true.
Amen.
Are you following me? I don't know why people stay in those kind of situations. YOLO. You only live once. Why do you want to stay in a situation like that? To sanctify yourself, again, means to divorce yourself, separate yourself from anything and everything that would hinder you in your life from moving forward with the Lord. Close every open door to the enemy in your life. We need to close every door. Amen?
Amen.
Separate yourself from anything that is not pleasing to the Lord. I'm telling you, this, I feel the prophetic anointing on this message because, I mean, I mean, you have to be so spiritually dull not to feel an atmosphere shift in these services. You got to, I mean, there's got to be a real problem, Houston, if you're not sensing this thing, right? Something's happening here. Something good's going on. So it's time to drop the baggage of sin. It's time to drop the baggage of fear, discouragement, negativity, selfishness, pride, rebellion, idolatry, man-made traditions and rituals that are made from that are just dead works. They're dead works, right? In other words, it doesn't mean a thing to God. It's not getting you closer to God. It might make your conscience feel good, but it's doing nothing. It's doing nothing. Amen? Now, it's the time. Now is the time to be all in with your Heavenly Father. Amen? We're going to remove every hindrance. Deal with the spiritual and emotional junk in your life right now. I'm telling you right now, just deal with it. Humble yourself, deal with it, get healing, be set free. Amen? When the glory of God is moving, there are some things that you need to leave behind. And they are a hindrance. They're weights. They're things that spiritually suck the life out of you. Are you hearing me? Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever feel like you're just, like your energy's just getting sucked out of your life by certain things or certain people in your life? Right? All right? So many times we forfeit the moving forward into the blessings of God because we would rather stay behind in the same old junk that's hindered us for years. We got to let it go. Amen? I'm telling you, I feel like this is a call. This is like all of us, we're in a campground, right? And we're getting ready to move, and some people are just getting way too cozy and comfortable by that campfire. But what they don't know is we're getting ready to get on the mic. We're getting ready to get on the mic and say, hey, we got to be out of here in 5 minutes. We got to roll. We got to move on to the next destination. Props are good sometime. It woke you all up. It's time to go. Amen? Here's what I want to say. Don't get too comfortable where you're at. Don't do it. So I want you to notice that the process of sanctifying yourself comes before the wonders. It comes before the wonders. No move of God or revival or outpouring from God has happened apart from a people, a remnant. Say remnant. A remnant sanctifying themselves and pressing in for a move of God.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm telling you, you study any move of God, any outpouring from the Holy Spirit in history, in church history, and it was always a small group of people that were willing to sanctify themselves, divorce themselves from things that's hindering them with God. And they pressed in prayer. They pressed in praising and worshiping to God. They were hungry. They were desperate for a move of God. And it created, I like to say it this way, a heavenly portal over that region. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create this heavenly portal over this region for this outpouring. The question is this for you today. Am I preaching to a remnant today, or am I just preaching to a multitude? Am I preaching to a remnant today that's willing to sanctify themselves, divorce themselves from the things that are hindering them so that the wonders can come? So that the miracle signs and wonders can come? What wonders was Joshua talking about in verse 5? One of the wonders that he was talking about, Joshua said, sanctify yourselves because tomorrow, say tomorrow, the Lord's going to do wonders. One of the the wonders that Joshua is talking about was the parting of the Jordan River, the Jordan, to go into the promised land. Now, when you think about a river, right, most of you are like just thinking about Moses in the Red Sea, but did you know that the Jordan was parted as well? All right? So God wants to know and see that his people were truly committed to him and his will before he parted that Jordan. Here's the deal. God is ready and willing to part that Jordan in your life for you to cross over, but he's waiting for something. He's waiting for you to say, God, I'm sanctified, set apart for you. I'm totally in with you. But that Jordan's not going to part. That breakthrough's not going to come until you settle that part in your heart. Oh, come on, somebody. This is a prophetic message today. When we truly commit to the will of God, miracles and divine appointments are going to start to happen like never before. Hallelujah. Someone shared with me last night at the healing service that they were seeing angelic movement over here and stuff, but they saw a curtain with like the glory of God, almost like this thing was like a dam right there, that if that curtain was removed, like the gusher of his presence would come. It clicked in me today. This message is talking about sanctifying ourselves so that curtain can be removed and the flood of his glory can fill this place. And it's not just to flood this place so we can dance in the rain and have fun, right? No. The purpose, well, we will do that, right? But the main purpose is to get fired up for the Lord. So you take it outside of these four walls and you bring people into the kingdom of God. That's the goal. Amen. So we advance the kingdom of God. So I don't know about you, but this curtain doesn't look good right here, right now. You see that? Isn't it? It just doesn't match with Living Waters Chapel right now. It just doesn't match in here. So I want that curtain removed. I want that dam gone. And I want the glory to flood this place like never before. I'm talking about how to cross your Jordan, every hindrance to get to the promised land of your life, how to receive and walk in the blessings of God. Now look at Joshua 3, 6 through 8, I want to read here. Hallelujah. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 7, that God was about, basically what he's saying is, that God was about to put his stamp of approval on Joshua to be able to, because Moses was gone, right? And so the people were a little discouraged and depressed about that. And so God was about to put his stamp of approval on Joshua because God knew the importance of the children of Israel trusting their leader, their new leader, Joshua. Hello, somebody. Amen. God knew this. Listen, this is why that's so important. God knew that if they didn't trust their new leader, Joshua, the children of Israel would never truly get to that promised land. There had to be trust, right? God uses people, God uses leaders to minister and to give guidance in a vision, amen? I find it very interesting how 3 years into this thing, the Holy Spirit gave me the vision of this church. Has anybody of you read this? We went over it on Wednesday. Anyways, it's on the website, check it out. But I just found that very interesting because before that 3 years, people would ask me, hey, what's the vision of LWC? I'm like, we're, you know. Like we're doing the work of the gospel, but I couldn't articulate it. But one day I was praying in the sanctuary in tongues for over an hour, and all of a sudden it hit me. I grabbed the paper and pen, and I started writing and came up with a whole paragraph of the vision statement for Living Waters Chapel. Yeah. I'm like, that would have been nice 3 years ago, God. You know, I just tell people, I don't know. It's going to come when it comes, right? I mean, I don't know. So, but here's the deal. God is a God of order. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of order and structure, not rebellion and chaos. Amen? That is why it's so important for Christians to really seek the Lord about what local church that he wants them to be at. Amen? What church does God want you to be planted in? Because God will confirm that to you if you're willing to hear his voice. Amen? That is why you must be in a local church. I'm just going to say it like this. You have to be connected in a local church where you trust the pastor.
Exactly.
You got to. Or else what's the point, right? I mean, we see it at workplaces all the time, you know, where the employees don't trust the boss. And what does it do? The whole attitude, the whole morale of the place is absolute trash.
Yes.
Amen. Right? So that's why, you know, you want to be in a place. I mean, just FYI, you want to be in a place where you do have trust in that the leader's hearing from God, right? That's why I said about, you know, a true local church is where there's God-ordained leadership.
Yes.
It's got to be God-ordained, not someone who said, oh, I hate what this pastor did. I'm just going to go and start my own church. Well, that's your own stamp of approval, not God's.
Amen.
Plus, you're starting a church kind of on three legs instead of four. One leg, what happens to that? It's going to tip. Yeah, right. So it's got to be God-ordained leadership. Amen? And so God knew the importance of this, that he had to put his stamp of approval on Joshua, or else if the people didn't trust their new leader, they never truly would have went into that new vision in the promised land. Are you following what I'm saying? When you are where God wants you to be, that's where you're going to be spiritually fed, and that's where your provision is at in the will of God. Amen? You got in all areas of our life, we got to be able to trust those who are in authority over us. Amen? And frankly, I'll be honest, if someone doesn't trust that a pastor has your best interest in store or looking out for you, go, leave, go somewhere else, please. Are you following me? I mean, I'm not too, listen. Yeah, I would love this church being packed out and everything, but if for some reason, I don't know why you wouldn't trust him, but if you don't, we don't want you here. Right? We want you to, maybe you're not meant to be here. But anyways, we're going to move on from that, okay? Before I empty this church out. And I'm out of a job here at Living Waters Chapel. But no, hey, listen, I can truly say I care for everyone in here, obviously. You're still here. All right, we're going to move on. It's good. But anyways, what I wanted to bring up was the importance of leadership and being able to trust leaders. Amen? Verse 8 is interesting. God gave the command to the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant to come and stand at the edge of the Jordan River. And the Ark of the Covenant, by the way, it represents the presence of God or the glory of God. And the priests were carrying the ark, the presence of God, the glory of God. I got some good news for you here today. In Revelation 1:6, it says that we as Christians, through the blood of Jesus Christ, have been made kings and priests unto God. That's why your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't need an Ark of the Covenant anymore. You are the walking Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you really take hold of that, isn't that powerful? If you really take hold that the presence, the glory is in you, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the word says. I love that. So God told the priest to take the Ark and stand at the edge of the Jordan. That's it. Nothing else. Don't go fishing. Don't go fishing while you're at the edge of the Jordan. No, 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 right? All you fishermen out there, don't do it. Don't pull that fishing pole out. He said, just go and stand at the edge of the Jordan, and that's it. See, there are times when God gives a command or an instruction that makes no earthly sense to your natural mind. It makes no sense to you. He will take you to a place and simply cause you to stand on the edge of your Jordan, and you are forced just to trust him in that place. You don't always have to be doing something. Get that revelation right now. In fact, that's going to set many of you free. You don't always have to be doing something. Yeah, you see, you notice like when we get all quiet in the sanctuary, it's kind of like a test I'm doing. Because we get quiet, right? And I just want to see if we can do it. Because usually someone will start blurting out a prophecy. And I'm fine with that. But we got to get comfortable in the silence. We got to get comfortable in the silence so we can be calm and hear his voice. Amen? Yeah, amen. So, you know, every time we get quiet like that, I'm like, who's going to speak up? Because someone's going to get very uncomfortable with that silence. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Christians, we get so uncomfortable. But here's why. The Holy Spirit said, that's when you're going to hear his voice clearly. In that silence. It's practicing his presence. Just getting silent. You don't always have to be doing something. You don't always have to be saying something. Amen? We need to get to the end of ourselves. Because listen to this. This is what the Holy Ghost said. He said, when you get to the end of yourself, that's the beginning of miracle signs and wonders. Do you know miracle signs and wonders in the Word of God didn't happen unless there was a problem? Lord, give me miracle signs and wonders. Well, that means there's got to be some kind of a problem that needs to be solved. Think about that. God will take you to that place where you need to simply stand at the edge of your Jordan, and you're forced to simply trust him. And all you can do is stand and wait for him. The Word of God says this. This is the verse that came to me when I was writing this. When you have done all, stand. Yeah. See, you got to come to this point. There's a time and a place that you've done everything you can do in a situation. And now you just need to stand. Don't do anything. It's when we take that first step after standing, we mess it all up. You mess it all up. Now you took that next step. When you've done all, but you take that next step, you just did it in the flesh. It's done. You messed it up. Think about it now. So done all means this, that you walked in simple obedience to God. You did what he told you to do, and that's it. I'm standing now. Amen? That means you have obeyed. Let God do the rest. Someone needs to hear this today. Let him kick the super into your natural. Yes. That's what you need to do. That's the purpose of standing is you did everything you can do in the natural. Now you're waiting for the super to kick in. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We in America, we're so Americanized, we're so humanized, we're so self-help, reliant, self-help reliant. No, just do what you need to do and wait on God to do the rest. Yeah. We need the power of God to cross over the Jordan. We need him to split that Jordan for us. Don't try to do it yourself. It's not going to work. There's a meme on Facebook or a video, and it says when you try to do God's job, and it's some guy with a mop, like at the edge of like the ocean, trying to mop the ocean, and he's wringing it out, and he goes back into the water. It's going to be never ending. That's why God says, just do what I told you to do. Be obedient to the word and stop. Let me do the rest. Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. This is where Americans have a real problem with this. And lean not unto our own understanding. God doesn't need your help to figure things out. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now look at Joshua 3, 9 through 12, I want to look at here. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God, I said he's a living God, amen? Amen. That the living God is among you, that he will without fail, say without fail. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Drive out from you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and every otherite and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. Now, Joshua told the children of Israel that they would know that God was among them. Isn't it good when there's a sign that God, aren't we always like, God, give me a sign, right? Oh, us Americans are huge with that, right? Give me a sign, right? But listen to this. Joshua told the children of Israel that they would know that God is among them by this, that God, without fail, would drive out their enemies from before them. See, there. Listen to me. You got to hear this. There is a level of divine protection. There is a level of divine deliverance. There is a level of divine favor that is available to Christians. Listen to me. That few have even tapped into. I said few have tapped in. Yeah, well, yeah, it's available, but few have tapped into it. Why? Because they haven't divorced themselves from the things that's holding them back. God says, you're married to me. You're cheating on me with the world. Hello, somebody. You're cheating on me with a whole bunch of other things. Amen. He says, you're cheating on me. He said, now it's time. Some of y'all think you're spiritual Mormons. You got more than one wife, one husband. Come on, somebody. Think about it. God's saying, divorce those other things, and you need to fully commit to me. Amen. So that level of divine protection, divine deliverance, divine favor. Say favor. Favor. Oh, one day of favor is better than 1,000 days of labor. Come on, somebody. It's available, but few have taken hold of it. And God's saying, I want to pour that kind of blessing upon your life. In verse 11, Joshua assures the people and encourages them to maintain their faith and expectation by telling them that the Ark of the Covenant, or the presence of God, is going before them. See, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence and the glory of God, listen to me, meant something to the children of Israel. Yes. Meant something to the people of God. I could say, talk about the presence of God all day long up here, and some Christians still don't even get it. Some Christians that don't even want to experience the presence of God. But they valued the presence of God, and miracles, signs, and wonders happened. Amen. We also, listen, we need that kind of confidence. We need that kind of faith. We need that kind of trust in the presence of God in our life. We need to put value on the presence of God, don't we? We must understand that it is the presence of God that goes before us and opens doors that no man can shut, and shuts doors that no man can open. Amen? We need to have a reality check on that. Even Moses said, God, I don't want to go. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to leave this mountain where I'm experiencing your glory. I don't want to leave unless your presence goes with me. But again, we American Christians, we want to figure everything out ourselves. We're Americanized. We're humanized, right? We need the presence of God. I'm telling you, I wonder what God will do if you will just simply hunger and desire and seek him for more of his presence in your life. If you will hold on to that truth, it will keep you holding on in the storms that you're going to face in your life. Amen? It is the presence of God, the glory of God that shelters us. It is the glory of God that allows us to go through the fiery trials of life and go through, listen to me, without getting burnt, without getting the smell of smoke on us. I'm telling you, there is a level of walking in the supernatural power of God that's available, but few have walked in it. We think about ministers like a Smith Wigglesworth and all these other powerful ministers in the past. We lift them up and elevate them on a pedestal. But you want to know what? Here's what it came down to. They were hungry for more of God in their life. That's it. And they paid the price. They paid the price. I'm not talking about money, honey. They paid the price of divorcing from things that were a hindrance in their life and making God the priority seat of their heart. Go to Joshua 3, 13 through 17. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
All right, here we go. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. Listen to that. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. Where their souls were, where the soles of their feet were, the presence of God was. Do you notice? It was the same. One and the same. And you have the presence of God living in you. That the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. Think about it. This is a miracle here, people. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still. Man, miracles are so fun to watch, aren't they? Wouldn't that be something to see that? And rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17, then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed. I like that word, completely. Say completely.
Completely.
We don't serve a God that just does a half job.
Yep.
Amen. When he does something, he's going to do it completely. Amen. Completely over the Jordan. The parting of the Jordan River is a glorious picture of the supernatural in action. I want you to notice the breakdown. Listen to this, of that word, supernatural. Listen to the Holy Spirit said this. Now think about this. This could wreck some dead religious mindsets. Are you ready for this? God needs our natural, and we need his super. For the super to be manifested, God needs our natural. Oh, come on, somebody. For God to even kick anything in, he needs us to act first. We are to be doers of the word. The Holy Spirit is the what? The helper. Thank you. You get an A. I might take you flying today for that. I think I will. Listen to this. We as Christians are fellow workers or laborers together with God on this earth. According to 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, that is the way it is. God set it up like that. So many scriptures in the Word of God point to the fact that God won't do anything unless we do something first. Think about that. Isn't that powerful? And so many Christians just sit back and say, God, you do it. And God's saying, well, no, I need you to do something so I can activate my supernatural power. So I love this. We play an amazing role in the plan of God on this earth, don't we? We are valuable to God. And anyone that doesn't believe that is taking away from the central theme in the Word of God. Right? I mean, think about it. God could have parted the Jordan without them putting the soles of their feet on the edge, couldn't he? But he chooses to use man. He chooses to use his people. So you, again, you are valuable to God. We need the super, and God needs our natural. God needs us to be obedient. He needs us to be obedient to him as his children to advance his kingdom on this earth so his perfect will can be accomplished. Amen? It's the on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. If God doesn't need us, listen to this. If God doesn't need us to be obedient to fulfill his plan and purposes on this earth, let me ask you something. Why would the Holy Spirit waste his time to prompt us to pray? Why? Then we're just wasting our time. If he wants to do it on his own, why would he even prompt us to pray? Well, the fact of the matter is, he needs us to pray. He needs us to activate our authority in this earth, and his power can flow when we operate in our authority. Amen? Y'all tired this morning? Do we wear you out during praise and worship? Listen, simple obedience and spiritual hunger are the keys to loosing the power of God in your life and entering the promised land for your life. Let me say it again. Simple obedience to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Hello. Yep. Both. Because there's going to be the Word of God you got to obey and then the personal instructions from the Holy Spirit for your life. Amen. All right? Simple obedience and spiritual hunger. If you leave one out, it's incomplete. Amen. You need both. Amen? Real quick, let's look at this Red Sea crossing with a few verses. Go to Exodus 14, and then I'll get you guys out of here. Boy, it's been quite a weekend at Living Waters Chapel. Amen? Quite an eventful weekend here. The Holy Spirit has been good. He's been moving in a mighty way. All days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday today. Amen? Exodus 14, 13 through 16. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still." There it is again. Stand still. Say stand still.
Stand still.
"And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" Whoa! "Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Man, that's good. I liked it. What a lesson. Amen? Well, hold on here. Verse 16. "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." And the children, again, why? Why did he have to do that? Because God needed Moses' natural for God to kick in his super. Amen? "And the children of Israel should go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now, Moses told the children of Israel not to fear. He told them that God was going to fight for them. Amen. They simply needed to be obedient to God's command. I'm telling you, obedience is so powerful. Obedience to God is so powerful. I like that in verse 15 where God tells Moses, he said, "What are you crying to me for? You know what to do. Just do it. Why are you crying? Tell the children of Israel to move forward." I like that. See, there's a time. Yeah, you know, if we're having a pity party, sure, the Holy Spirit's going to comfort you. But then there's a time saying, "Would you stop crying and move forward?" Right? Stop. Stop these tears right now, and let's move forward with life. Amen? And God told Moses to lift up and stretch his rod in his hand over the Red Sea. Again, Moses obeyed in the natural, and God kicked in the super by his power parting the Red Sea. All right, go to Proverbs 13 as I close this thing out. Proverbs 13, 12. 12, we're right on the dot. Wow. Not that I care, but I'm trying to give you hope. Let's see. I mean, I could go all day preaching, so I mean, I don't. It doesn't bother me, right? Proverbs 13, 12. Oh, I am trying to give you hope. Look at this one. Here we go. Woo! See, the Holy Ghost knew. Look at this. "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." I want you to notice something here. That hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I want to say this, for the Christian, no matter what you're going through in your life, there's always hope for everything you're going, even the most horrible and tragic situation. There's always hope. You want to know why? Because you serve a true and living God. You serve a God who's always on your side. You serve a God who wants the best for your life. Amen? The problem is this. Look at this. Here's the problem as Christians. You have the option. Say option. You have the option to receive that hope or to reject it. Think about it. Isn't that interesting? Because it says hope deferred. So if hope can be rejected or deferred, it means you can take hold of that hope. Amen? And that's why in 2 Timothy 1:7, God says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So God is telling us that He has nothing to do with that fear in your life. He has nothing to do with that worry. He has nothing to do with that anxiety that you're allowing to steal your joy. Because in every situation you'll encounter, there's hope available. That provision of hope is available. But here's the thing. It's up to you and I to take hold of that hope. It's for you to shift your eyes to that hope. Amen? Our hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the written word of God, the promises of God. If we refuse or defer that hope, listen to me, you will live a very depressed and miserable life on this earth. That's why you got people who are suicidal. You got people because they're deferring that hope. So today I want you to choose to believe the good report of the Lord. Amen? Believe the situation from His word. Like I said earlier, YOLO. Say YOLO. That means you only live once on this earth. And you need to make it count. You and I need to make the greatest impact that we can on this earth. We need to be able to cross that Jordan into our promised land that God has for us. Joshua and Caleb chose to believe God regardless of the circumstances that they seen in the natural with those giants in the land. No. They chose to believe the report of the Lord. They chose to believe and take hold of hope. Because God promised it. Now, I want you to notice this. It was the promised land, right, to the children of Israel, but there were still giants in the land that needed to be conquered. You need to choose to believe God with childlike faith, amen, in obedience to Him all the way to your promised land, and believe that God is going to help you fight your battles for you, amen. He's got a promised land. He's got a plan for your life. Yes, I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be some giants. There's going to be some things in the way. But there is nothing in that promised land that can keep you out if you are desiring to take hold of it. Amen? So, church, we need to sanctify ourselves because tomorrow the Lord is getting ready to do wonders in your life. Believe it, expect it from this day forward in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up in this place. It's time for us to cross our Jordan. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. We're going to close out this weekend with some powerful prayer. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave this building without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Amen? The only chance you have of it is while you have breath in your lungs on this earth. So I want you to come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. Maybe you're in this place. And let's make this part of the altar call this. You are one that has been rejecting and deferring the hope that God has for you. You have fallen into discouragement, but after this message, you feel recharged. After this service, you feel revived. You feel the presence of God all over you. You feel a stirring in your spirit, and you're ready to take hold of your promised land that God has for you. If that's you, I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. I'm telling you, do it. Don't leave here without doing that if you're feeling that stirring. All right? Because you will leave here and you will notice a greater power and an anointing in your life for you simply coming forward and receiving prayer and someone coming into agreement with you. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you want to speak in tongues, pray in tongues, you want the gifts of the Spirit to flow through you, well, you need the Holy Spirit baptism to do that. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They will pray over you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Thank you so much, visitors. Thank you so much for coming today. Man, I can already feel a message stirring for next week. I'm telling you, there is an excitement building. Amen? Get ready. There might be some unusual services. There might be some times where I don't even get up and preach. We're just going to flow. I'm just saying. I mean, I love preaching, all right? I love teaching. I love equipping. But there might be some times where we might just linger in the presence of God for a service. Who knows? I'm just preparing you. You might see some strange things in this place. Amen? All right. I love you all. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. God bless you guys.